Now, going back to Nebuchadnezzar, you know there's a big image. It is made of all those different metals. And then a stone came and destroyed the image. Now, when Daniel started interpreting it, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. You are a king of kings. God has put the nations, even the animals, in your hands. But after you, there will come another kingdom. It will be inferior to you, but it will come next. And after that kingdom, there will be another one again. And then he says, at the end, there will be a kingdom God himself is going to establish. And it will destroy all these man-made kingdoms. And that kingdom will stand forever. Now, do you realize that was the main message in the dream? Because you need to look at how did the dream start. When you read Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, Daniel begins by telling Nebuchadnezzar what he was doing before he started dreaming. That's a gift of a prophet, right? He was able to go in the visions, even see Nebuchadnezzar. He says, you were thinking about what should come to pass hereafter. Because Nebuchadnezzar was an accomplished man. He conquered empires and kingdoms. The nations feared him. He was a king of kings indeed. People used to take taxes and treasures to him. The whole world feared Nebuchadnezzar. But in those times, you begin to think, will I be a king forever? Is there another nation which one day will rise and take over me? I think most great people, they think about those things. There's always looking on your shoulders. Who can come maybe and surprise me? Because power, you know, as our late president, Frederick Chiluwa, said, the power is sweet. You know? Well, for him to have said that, we don't know what was going through his mind. But I believe when you are holding that power, another thought that comes is, so one day I'll also be out of here. After I go, who will take over? Oh, looking at how powerful my empire is, maybe it can rule forever. And Daniel says, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. So he was on the bed when he was thinking. What was he thinking? What should come to pass hereafter? So when you read it in a simpler version, Maybe NIV. It puts it in a very simple way. Nebuchadnezzar was thinking about what things should happen. He's wondering. Like all of us, we wonder. How will my children grow? How far will they go? You know, now Nebuchadnezzar is thinking at the level of a king. Now, in those ancient times, there was a habit to think when you are a king like you are a god. People worship you. You know, you like the Egyptians, you know, when you die, they believe you become a god or something like that. So he was thinking, Nebuchadnezzar was thinking. And Daniel says, God gave you this dream to answer your question, to show you what will come to pass after you. What will come to pass after this you are experiencing. And Daniel says, after you, there will be another empire which will come. And that kingdom also later on it will be defeated. Another one will rise again. But then there will be a kingdom. It is God himself who will establish it. It won't be by the work of man. And it will break in pieces all these empires. Do you realize when Daniel said that even Babylon is included in that? Everything will be swept and blown away like dust. That is what Daniel said. The stone which came, it crushed everything to dust and it was blown like the chaff. You know, chaff is a worthless thing. It's a very light thing. Let us read that part. That is in verse 35. So when we speak of a thing like chaff, it's a very light thing. God bless you, brother. Something that can easily be blown away. Now imagine, from gold, a metal, being crushed and becoming like chaff. What is God speaking? Whatever you've accomplished, Nebuchadnezzar, the time that kingdom will come, it will destroy all these man-made things and they will all be worthless. Now notice, in verse 45, Daniel ends by using the same words he used in verse 29. In verse 21, he said, when he was starting to explain the dream, he said, when thoughts came into your mind concerning what should come to pass hereafter, in verse 45 he says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Did you hear that? I want us to hear how Daniel is concluding. So God say, Daniel says, God has shown you what will come to pass hereafter.
So Daniel
two important things to learn. Nebuchadnezzar was thinking deeply. And then God saw his thoughts and answered his thoughts. How many know that God does not just answer a verbal prayer, but he's able to answer your thoughts? Amen. Where is that scripture which says that? Ephesians 3, verse 20. If you have a Bible, please, let us read it together. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But you are different. You are even more privileged. God knows the desires of your heart. So make sure you think on right things. Now, that's the first thing we can see. God was able to see the thoughts of Nebuchadnezzar and give him a dream. What was the message? It was to tell him, don't be proud. You won't be that on that throne forever. But did Nebuchadnezzar understand that message? When you go to chapter
3,
he goes ahead and makes a big image, an image of gold. And people were commanded. The different nations, the princes, the kings were invited to the ceremony. To bow to the image of God. And anyone who won't bow to it, it was a sign of disrespect to Nebuchadnezzar. When I look at that, I see he didn't get to the understanding of the message in the dream. What followed next? The people who had prayed for the interpretation of the dream to come, there was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Although it was Daniel who gave the interpretation, they worked as a team to pray together. Very important lesson for believers. All we talk about is Daniel, but there were brethren who were praying with him. You know why the church is in problems today? Many churches. People are in competition. People want to be seen. Anything God makes, it works well when each part knows what to do. Do you know what makes a tree look so nice the way it is? We don't see it with our eyes. It's buried, it's underground. No one here ever wants to pose for a photo so that the roots can be seen. We want the beautiful leaves, right? But do you know those leaves will never be what they are without the constant work that the roots are doing underground? Roots are the ones which eat. The deeper they go, the brighter the leaves. Imagine what a mess a tree will be if roots start competing to say, manje we ndio one kerachabe bantu watenga ma picture naiwe nanga ise. We are not showing on the pictures, it's just you, the leaves. What confusion would that be? But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. That is why on the day to receive rewards, do not think people who are very popular are the ones who receive a lot of rewards and say, oh, that one worked a lot for God. That is not how the system of God works. He says the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. One day the disciples got in a confusion. They said, who is great among us? Who is great among us? Jesus called a little child. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be like the little one. Don't do things to be seen. Do things to the glory of God. If you be a doormat in the house of God, be a good background doormat. It's God who sees it. The moment the work of God becomes a race, the moment the work of God is reduced to having celebrities, you know, this reminds me of one incident. You know, on Facebook, so many things can happen. You've seen what these celebrities do sometimes. They have a Facebook page. For example, say, friends and those maybe who love then some big name. Friends and those who love, let's say, Donald Trump. Friends and those who love maybe, you know, these great preachers. So that time I was from a mission trip. That was in Asia. So after the mission trip was done and coming back home, I noticed I was added to a group on Facebook. Do you know what was the title of the Facebook page and group? Lo and behold, friends and those who love Andrew Pire. I went in that group and made an announcement immediately. I said, can I be removed from this group? Can this group be closed? We don't do the work of God to be celebrities or whatever it is. That's not the work of God. Amen.
Amen.
The more we can be empty, the more space God will find to work in us. Whatever gift God has given you, make sure you work 100% committed to that. Don't do things because, oh, I'll be asked, how did I do this? How did I do that? Do it perfectly, even when no one is watching. Is that so, brethren? Nebuchadnezzar, he was a proud man. And God was bringing him that dream to warn him of something. Now always remember this. When God gives a dream, it is not to fate you. You know fate, huh? You know, there are people who believe in fatalism. You've heard of fatalism in philosophy. Fate. Fate is where someone says, God has shown a dream. God has already said this bad thing will happen. There's nothing I can do since he has already said that. You know what I mean? Someone says, hey, I had a dream. I had a terrible dream. Maybe I saw you stealing. Or I saw you fornicating. Then someone says, ah, anyway, God has spoken. There's nothing I can do about it. Is that the reason why God gives dreams? Huh? Any message which comes to you to disarm your free will, to say there's nothing you can do about it, it's what it is, that is not from God. Choice is a sacred thing, and that is why Satan wants to mess up with it. If you're not careful, you'll go down that path. You say, that's the way I am. That's what the dreams said. You should listen to the message Brother Stroman preached from the last convention we had. There's a very powerful statement he made. To say, when Adam was in the garden, eternal life was not yet sealed in him. It was not yet sealed, because Adam needed to make a choice. When mankind picked made a wrong decision, this eternal life had to be kept away. It could only be sealed after man's free will choice would make the right decision. Because once you have eternal life, you have it. You can't have eternal life and then it's taken away from you. You get the point? That is why God said, before they touch this, let them be out. Meaning, it was not yet sealed in man. So you don't say, oh, why did Adam and Eve do such a thing? Those two trees hang before you and I every single day of our lives. What decision do you make every day? Sin still knocks. So that this experience is a personal, individual experience. Now, we can see after Daniel interpreted the dream, Nebuchadnezzar is very surprised how Daniel knew the dream without anyone telling him. And he went ahead giving the correct interpretation. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel. In verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. He became chief over what was called the council of wise men. It's very important to know this, who these people were. Because when you read in Matthew, you hear wise men from the east, they came. Announcing, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where did they learn that from? Which prophecy did they use? Who were they? Well, the scripture tells us they were from the east. That very region where Daniel is in here, in the Babylonian captivity, right? Are we together? Now, remember, when Daniel went to Babylon, they put him in this group of the wise men. Some of them were astrologers. They studied stars. Some of them were magicians. It was a very revered group. When you belong to wise men, you know, you were respected. When something troubles the king, the first ones to be called are the wise men. In that time, there was a lot of superstition. There was also a lot of science, because they knew how to do the stars, how to make the calendar, and all that. So now, when Daniel revealed the dream, we see the reason why God had made Nebuchadnezzar forget it. Because I believe that bunch of wise men, they used to lie to Nebuchadnezzar quite a lot. They just tell us the dream. When he says, tell, you know, I had a dream, I saw three sacks of beans. This wise man will say, okay, that shows king. A lot of kings will bring a lot of gifts to you this year. That's probable. That will happen, Ophia, of course. Because, you know, people can always make up stories. But in this our day, we have an understanding of how a prophetic gift works. You know, when someone tells Brother Branham a dream, Brother Branham always would dream it first. I mean, he will see it. The Lord will let him see it.
So, what is William Branham,
Asana lete chiloto chake chakuli William Branham. William Branham zokala wachuo na chiloto.
You know, he says he would see the dream the person had. And he would tell him what it means. But these wise men of Babylon, some of them were magicians. But now when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, God put it under lock and key in his subconscious. Hey, have you been in such a situation? You know something is in your head, but you are failing to bring it out.
Yeah.
And then the wise men told Nebuchadnezzar, O king, there is no one who can reveal to you what you've forgotten. And listen to what they said. It's only the gods who can do that. And the king was very upset. Says, I'm killing all of you. I mean, he was upset. So you guys, you've just been lying to me. You don't really have divination powers. But God was setting the stage so that when Daniel speaks, people say, this is God now. You know, when the news went around, oh, they are killing the wise men. They went to Daniel also, hey, have you heard, you guys are about to be killed? Because Daniel also was in this category of the wise men. There was commotion. There was trouble. But do you know when you are a child of God, let us avoid sliding into panic. Daniel said no. He prayed to God. They prayed together with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Lord, you can't let us die with people whom we know they worship false gods. God has to show a distinction. Because if they all die, you can't say that is persecution. Because they are all in one basket. So the testimony of Daniel and the three friends will be overshadowed, because all those who were being killed, others were worshipping idols, others were magicians. You can't say, no, that was persecution. No, it can't be.
So at the
So they prayed.
So
they sought the Lord. That tells me to get an answer from God, it's not always just kneeling simply, you pray your short prayer and it ends there. There are some things, friends, we need to knock, we need to seek. Even as we go for the crusade, let us lie prostrate before the Lord. We say, Lord, go before us. Help us win. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So some things is to seek, is to pray, is to fight the battle. But we are having a Christian generation which doesn't even know what that kind of a prayer is. Work takes up so much of our time until our prayers, they can hardly be called real prayers. Whatever it is, sense. No matter how busy we are. Let us learn how to put our knees on the floor. No matter how busy you are. Remember the days of Lot. Remember the days of Noah. It's not like people just didn't want to hear Noah. Some people are just too busy for that. So, well, Daniel interpreted the dream. And afterwards, that turned out to be a testimony. They promoted him. And even told the king, I'm with friends here. What positions are they getting? God has a way to raise you up out of a situation. So everything was for a purpose after all. Daniel, in verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So here we can see Daniel requesting the king to promote his friends. I hope we get to have such an attitude. If there are people you know you struggled with in prayer or they prayed with you, carry them in your hearts, whatever God is blessing you with or what God is doing in your life. Daniel was able to say to the king, I think that I'm not alone. I'm with my brothers. And it was a big favor upon all of them. Amen. Well, let us close with Job 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Do you know many times that's our situation? Because the problem with a dream is this. When you have it, you even know, I think God has spoken here. This is strange. When you come out, you can feel its impact. But do you notice that every passage of a minute, it starts fading away from you? That impact it had, it quickly dies out in a matter of minutes. How many have experienced that? Yeah. You start thinking, it was just a dream. Yes, there are dreams without a meaning. There are also dreams which are just utter nonsense and rubbish. You know, you just need to blush them. Because your brain can be a storage of so much things. So it's not every dream that is from God. Is that right? But as a child of God, you need to know when God has spoken. And usually, there'll be a witness. Maybe there'll be another person or something which will happen. It will communicate something to you. Because when God is speaking, He doesn't want to leave you in doubt. He'll speak once, He'll speak twice. Why twice? So that you don't have an excuse. Man perceiveth it not. So it was a dream, and I saw. So, what have you done about that dream? What was the Lord speaking? Was it a dream to warn? Was it a dream to instruct you of what you need to do? And then it just ended there. Remember, the birth of the Messiah came through a dream to Joseph. So don't neglect dreams. Even Jesus being born, the one who was supposed to be his like foster father, it came through a dream. He didn't have the gift of visions. Are there any here, you had a dream and it came to pass exactly as you saw it? You once had an experience?
Yeah.
Now, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Now, may I explain something here? A dream, you are unconscious. Many times you are not aware you are in a dream. But there's this thing called vision of the night. Did you see that phrase? Where one seems to be asleep, but you are fully aware of what you are seeing. Part of your conscious is awake, and you know I'm sleeping here and I'm seeing something. You even have the consciousness to say, let me wake up out of this. Anyone has ever experienced such a thing? Yeah, we can call that a vision of the night, right? But there's also visions which take place during the day, where one is seated and they're able to see something like, you know, well, that's an open vision you are seeing. But God will speak in different ways. Now, it does not mean when he speaks in a vision it's more important than what was in the dream. No, it's the message which is important, not the medium or the form it has been presented. Because some people have this tendency when someone says, well, I had a vision, then, oh, okay. You want to attach a lot of importance to that. Of course, that is understandable because when it's a vision, we know that it's not Yonshima which was waking you up, right? So a dream has those possibilities, isn't it? Solomon says dreams come because of a multitude of business during the day. Most young people here, when they're about to write exams or tests, Terry always has dreams before tests. Oh, Terry, I had a test, you know, I dreamt this and that. He always gets anxious when it's time to write tests. So I always tell him, Terry, it's just a dream. Because I went through it also. Whenever I would be anxious of a dream, today I'll dream I've passed. Another day I'll dream my name is not there. Have you ever gone through such? So if you have a dream and you're about to write an exam, please ignore it. That's just a lot of business happening in your brain because of anxiety. But hey, when you walk closely with God, you'll be knowing when the Lord God has spoken. You will know it in your heart. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you know he has spoken, you need to take that seriously. You write it down. Yeah, so that when it comes to pass, here's something I've learned. God doesn't like speaking to people who don't pay attention. You need to remember what God speaks to you, or he'll stop speaking altogether. You know, Brother Branham always would write what he has
said.
When it's a vision, God would tell him, he would look at the time in a vision. He would look at a clock. He would even see 10 minutes to 12. The next thing, he sees himself walking. He sees a person on a wheelchair. Then the person walks. When that time for the fulfillment comes, he's walking. He notices a clock. He says, I saw it somewhere. He says, okay, it has to be 10 minutes before that. I'll see this next thing.
10 minutes,
you know, there's an incident which happened like that to Brother Branham. God had showed him a wall clock. He saw all the details. He saw a man coming on a wheelchair. And when it was fulfilling, he was able to look at everything. He says, okay. And he did the right thing he was supposed to do. Now, imagine if you have a careless mind. When you don't pay attention to detail, do you really think God can entrust you with such a gift? No. When God calls a person, he has to be a person who knows how to give attention to instructions. One time, Brother Branham went ahead of the vision. He saw everything in place. He saw the sick child. He saw the mother. The other brother he came with, everything seemed to be in place. Then he got excited. Bring the child. I'll pray for the child. And then the child got more sick. At that point, he realized he's not in control. There are things he has missed. Then he repented. Now, you need to listen to how he prayed. Forgive me, Lord, for my foolishness. I acted quickly. You know, you can read the message for you to get the exact words he said. But he condemned himself. You know, foolish is a very strong word. Now, I want you to imagine, how many times are we foolish? By being forgetful. Let's not do that. And God is merciful. Like he says in Job, I'll speak once, twice, to do what? Verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their... Hello? Openeth the ears of men to seal their... God gives instruction. Instruction means he's telling you what needs to be done, what needs to be avoided.
So at the instruction, kapena la mulayanama pasa mungu. Wama pasa zanzifunika kuchitika na zanzifunika kusachita.
Why? Verse 17. That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from men.
Ati pakuti amuchose kumutu machitidwe yake. Akumuchosa kuzikweze.
To hide pride from men. Right? When God gives you a dream, is to show what? To show you what would be the right thing to do. And if there's a thing God hates, It's number one among the seven things he hates.
It
says a proud look. So when God gives you a dream, give heed. That was the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. It was because of his pride. God shows us things to show us he's the one in control. It's not us. Verse 18, he keepeth back his soul from the pit. So God shows you something about to happen before it happens to keep you from there. To keep you from there.
Yeah.
Isn't that love? That is love, isn't it? Yes. And his life from perishing by the sword. So in the next sharing on Daniel, we shall look at how Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him a second and a third experience. On the third one, a bad thing happened. He lost his mind. And it was after that that he gave a right testimony. After this dream incident, he honored Daniel. And, you know, it was just honoring Daniel and, well, he says, your God is a real God. But the next thing he does, got an image. That's the thing which excited him. Then God gave him a second experience. This time he saw a vision. He saw three people cast in the fire. He saw the fourth man. But when they came out of that, what was his testimony? Says, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a very high God. He is above other gods. That's all the experience did to him. He just compared the God of these people and felt he is a very high God. He still had pride. Until later on, after he lost his mind, take time to read his testimony, the words he said when he became normal again. He was able to say, this is the true God. He is able to lift a man, bring him down if he has pride. To his kingdom there will be no end. He now spoke the very words which Daniel had interpreted in the dream of the image. He knew it was about pride. And how it is only God, his kingdom, which will rule forever. We can stand, sense.